الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله، as these wonderful Mubarak days are passing by so swiftly, as we are about to welcome the last 10 Mubarak days of Ramadan, wherein we search for Laylatul Qadr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us and give us tawfiq to spend our time correctly. Really, we have to value every moment of this Mubarak month. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Arullah min anfusikum khaira. Prove yourself to Allah. Show Allah goodness in you. Because the unsuccessful one, the wretched one, is one who is deprived of the khair of this month. Because the khair of this month is so vast and available and abundant. The Sahabi we are about to learn about is that Sahabi who was also responsible. As we learn about Uthman radiallahu anhu, who carried out one of the greatest achievements by protecting the Ummah as far as the Quran is concerned. When he united the Ummah and he preserved the Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala used him. Allah is the protector of the Quran Kareem. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. And Allah Ta'ala made Uthman radiallahu anhu fulfill this great task of gathering the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, and his companions to fulfill this great achievement to protect the Ummah from fitna. But the man who actually encouraged Uthman radiallahu anhu to do this and explained to Uthman radiallahu anhu the condition out there on the ground in the different countries where people were coming to Islam was none other than Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu, this great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved so much. The sahabi who lived a life with benefiting humanity. And what an impeccable life he lived. It starts with his bond with his father. His father was Yaman, and his name was Husayl or Hisl, with a lam at the end, not a noon. And his father actually was from another region, but there was some matter of blood. So his father had departed from that region where he came from and went to Medina Munawwara. And then what he did was, he went into the allegiance of the people of Medina Munawwara, and then he lived in Medina. That's when they referred to him as Yaman. Yaman, because the people of Medina Munawwara are originally from Yemen. So his own people referred to him as Yaman. That was his father, Yaman, of very advanced age. His mother was Rabab bint Ka'ab radiallahu anha. Rabab. She was also a great Sahabiya. She was one of those who embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his siblings were Hudhayfa, meaning Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu's siblings, Sa'ad, Safwan, Mudlij. And he had a sister by the name of Layla. Some ahadith mention another sister of Uthman, of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, namely Fatima. These were the children of Yaman. Now, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, with his father, came to Makkah Mukarramah to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and embrace Islam at his hands. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them a choice. And this is another speciality of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a choice that, do you want to be titled a Muhajiri or an Ansari? And he chose to be from the Ansar. Allahu Akbar. This is the virtue of the Ansar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved the Ansar. Anyway, he was in Medina Munawwara, and when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established a pact of brotherhood between Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu and Ammar bin Yasir, the very, very famous, great Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhuma. So the both of them were brothers. Alhamdulillah, what's amazing is the relationship Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu enjoyed with his father. They were together very often of the time. It was interesting that during the Battle of Badr, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he said to them that we would now be departing to Makkah on this expedition, And it was actually intended to go for a caravan, but Allah Ta'ala, Allah's will was that the mushrikeen of Makkah face the Muslims, and the mushrikeen of Makkah be defeated at the hands of the small band of Muslims, alhamdulillah. Some asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam permission to get some errands done at home. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, as you are ready, just like this, come, we will depart. Interestingly, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu with his father were out on a journey. And he says that this is what hindered me from Badr. Otherwise he was always there by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every expedition. أَخَذَنَا كُفَّارُ قُرَيْشِ. As we were on our journey, the kuffar of Quraysh, the non-believers, saw us and captured us. Then they refused to release us. And we wanted to return to Medina Munawwara. They said, we know you are going to join Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against us. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, we didn't know at that time what they were talking about. We were out on this errand of ours. So we spoke the truth. We said, ma nuridu illa al-Madina. We are going to Medina. We don't know what you are talking about. So they said to us, if you give us your pledge and a promise that you would not fight against us with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would release you. And then we gave them our word and we continued on our journey because we were released. And as we came closer to Medina Munawwara, we found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum en route to Badr. And we explained our situation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what should we do? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you gave them your word. In Sarifa, no, continue, you all go to Medina. Nafi bi'ahdihim. We will fulfill our pledges. We Muslims fulfill our pledges. We Muslims stand by our word. وَنَسْتَعِينُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And we will seek Allah's assistance against them. By this time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew the kuffar of Makkah were coming. The numbers that they were coming with were enormous. Him and his few Sahaba radiallahu anhum were there. But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam refused for us as Muslims to go against our words. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to value our words, because this is part of amana as taught to us by our sharia and our deen. It is one of the signs of qiyamah that amana would not be fulfilled. Allah save us from becoming like the hypocrites who will not fulfill the amana. As far as Uhud is concerned, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu with his father Husayl radiallahu anhu participated. His father with Thabit bin Waqash radiallahu anhuma were placed in a safer area on the battlefield because of their advanced age. They were very, very old, but still they wanted to be part and parcel of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And alhamdulillah, at first the Muslims were victorious. But then when the group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum left their posts by the mountain pass, thinking under the perception that the battle was now complete and everyone is accumulating the booty, and they left their posts despite Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's instructions mistakenly, then this group of the people of Makkah found that mountain pass unguarded, and they attacked the Muslims from the rear. And now there was helter skelter, now there was turmoil, now there was trouble. The Muslims were sandwiched when there was so much of confusion. Now Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu's father Husayl and Thabit bin Waqsh say to each other that, let's help the Muslims. We see that they're now sandwiched. There is trouble. And what is it if we live? Rather, the best death is to die in Allah's cause, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have much left of our life. And they both agreed and they joined in. Even though they were in right from the beginning, but obviously they were given much more simpler tasks when they joined in. It so happened that there was so much of confusion, and Thabit radiallahu anhu became shaheed at the hands of the mushrikeen of Makkah. But Husayl, the father of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, was struck by the hands of a Muslim's sword mistakenly. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu saw this happening and he called out quickly, Abi, Abi, he screamed out. But it was too late. The sword struck his father. Imagine how sad it was for Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, who lost his father like this. But look at his tolerance and look at his patience. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Hudhayfa, it was a mistake. Your father is still a shaheed, and the blood money would be given to you because he was killed mistakenly at Muslims' hands. He says, O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will not take the blood money for my father. I forgive those who make the mistake. I give it to the ummah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw this akhlaq of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu then won a special place in the heart of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As we said, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was always there by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another position of his stands out is his participation in Khandaq, when the Muslims dug the trench. And now Muslims were surrounded by the mushrikeen. The entire Arabia was besieging Medina Munawwara. They were planning to destroy and eradicate Islam. But Allah is the preserver, Allah is the protector of his deen. What then happened was they started communicating with the Jews inside Medina Munawwara. There was one Jewish tribe, the Banu Qurayza, who was still in the allegiance of the Muslims, and they were still residing in Medina Munawwara. When Huyay bin Akhtab from the outer section, in support of the Mushrikeen of Makkah and the others of the other Arab tribes of Najd, when they had unified against the Muslims, now they started corresponding with the Jews in Medina Munawwara, and there was a lot of trouble inside Medina Munawwara because the Muslims were busy guarding the trench, and they could not leave the trench unguarded. Every point of the trench had to be watched all the time, because if it was neglected even for a short moment, they could quickly formulate a bridge and come into Medina Munawwara. Now there was trouble because they had corresponded with the Jews, and they were expecting the Jews in Medina to attack the Muslims from the rear, and now they would then neglect the trench, and that's how the mushrikeen would be able to enter and the Muslims could then be sandwiched, to such an extent that the Jews of Medina at that time actually went to try and attack and see if the fortress in which the Muslims, the woman, the Sahabiyat radiallahu anhun were in, if that fortress is guarded. And luckily, as we learned, Safiya radiallahu anha took care of that Jew, and she instilled fear into them by flinging his head in the community of the Jews, making them realize that yes, the Muslim fortress, the fortress of the Sahabiyat, is well guarded. But now there's trouble, there's turmoil. The weather is freezing. Nothing from in Medina can come out, nor can anything outside come in. Muslims are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suratul Ahzab, in the 22nd juz of the Quran Kareem, discusses this event in great detail, subhanallah. And so much of fear that had come into the people at that time is discussed. Quran actually describes the reaction of the mu'mineen, and then also describes the reaction of the munafiqeen. What were the reactions of the munafiqeen? What comments that they made, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is promising us the treasures of Kisra and Qaisar, and here we're not even safe enough to go relieve ourselves properly. You know, na'udhu billah. Evil statements, Allah Ta'ala save us. A lot of nifaq is to do with the tongue. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala save us. While we are in this discussion of Ahzab, another speciality of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, because he enjoyed such a close relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was known as the confidant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahibu sirri Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to such an extent. There were other sahaba who were very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who shared so many secrets with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mention it to them. But Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu's speciality is that he knew the names of the munafiqeen even, and those who utter things that are inappropriate, and those who are actually spies amongst the Muslims. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu knew them, subhanallah. Quran even mentions how munafiqeen were looking for flimsy excuses to go home, like inna buyutana awra, there's no guards in our homes. Obviously the women folk were all together in the fortress, but they're saying no, we have to go home for some flimsy excuses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes them like this. Alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala then put fear into the mushrikeen, and they were also becoming despondent. And Allah used this great sahabi, Nu'aym radiallahu anhu. He was from the Najd tribe, Ghatfan, and Allah gave him hidayah, and Allah used him to disunite between the ranks of the Jews and the mushrikeen of Makkah and the mushrikeen from Ghatfan. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to send one sahabi amidst the lines of the mushrikeen, to actually find out from them internally what is going on. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Sahaba. Now Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu mentions this to his students, when one student said that if we had lived in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, we would have sacrificed so much. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu is saying, well and good, your intention is lovely. Anta kunta taf'alu dhalik. Definitely you would do so. But Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, and he's teaching them a lesson, that thank Allah we are mu'mineen. Because in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, there were mu'mineen and there were also those who were munafiqeen and they were mushrikeen. There were people like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab who were right there in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they didn't accept Iman and Islam. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to value this Iman and this deen that we have, and we have to preserve our deen and Islam and Iman. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, I remember us being with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was the night of Ahzab. It was bitterly cold. Rihun shadida wa qarrun. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, "Ala rajulun ya'tini bi khabari al-qawm." This is the report of Muslim Sharif. Who would go there and bring for me information? Ja'alahu Allah ma'iya yawm al-qiyamah. He will be my companion on the day of Qiyamah. Hudhayfa radhiyallahu anhu says, there was silence. No one responded. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala rajulun ya'tina bi khabari al-qawm. Ja'alahu Allah ma'iya yawm al-qiyamah." Allah will make him with me on the day of Qiyamah. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, no one said anything. In another report, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu actually says, I was so cold. I didn't even have clothing to cover my entire body. I borrowed some cloth from my wife just to cover my aura. To that extent was the poverty and the need. In the report of Hakim reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu at that time. In the first instance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will make him Ibrahim alayhi salam's companion. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will make him my companion. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, asking him his opinion. What do you feel? And Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu said, the best man is Hudhayfa. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed that there was no one as suitable as Hudhayfa radhiyallahu anhu. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was so wise, and he was a man who knew what to do in every situation. He was very, very calm, and when situations became tough, he did not succumb to emotions, and he knew what to say and what to do at the right time. This was the quality of Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qum ya Hudhayfa." Hudhayfa, come, you come. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, now my name is being called. I can never refuse the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fa'tina bi khabari al-qawm. Go bring us the information. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him guidelines. And he said to him, go amongst them. They shouldn't come to know who you are. Get information. Come back. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and it's amazing, read this in Hayatul Sahaba, what lessons there is, subhanallah. Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf rahimahullah brings the incidents of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, linking it with the headings that he ties before the incidents of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, teaching us how to draw these lessons of life, what we learn from Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, the qualities of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Look at this situation. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَا تُحْدِثْ O Hudhayfa, don't bring up things on your own. Don't do anything more than what I am telling you. Do as you are told. In another hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا تُذْعِرُهُمْ عَلَيَّ O Hudhayfa, do not spur them on against us even more. So now he goes, as he is amongst them. And this is a report in Bayhaqi. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, I made my way on the other side. I entered amongst them. No one recognized me. It was too dark. It was pitch black. The winds were severe. The pots were being blown. The tents were being unpitched. At that time, Abu Sufyan gets up and he was about to make an announcement, but he felt maybe there are some foreigners around, so he actually said, لِيَأْخُذْ كُلُّ رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ بِيَدِي جَلِيسِهِ. Before I say anything, each one grab the hand of the man next to you to make sure he's of us. Now imagine the situation Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu finds himself in. If it is found that it is Hudhayfa, one of the Muslims, definitely he would be beheaded without a doubt. Look at Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, the man of the situation. The man who knew what to do when faced with a challenge. He knew what to do when in a catch-22. He grabbed the hand of the man next to him on his right. Who are you? He says, Muawiyah. Then he took the hand of the man next to him on his left. Who are you? He says, Amr bin As. In this report of Bayhaqi, other reports just mention he grabbed the hand of the man next to him, asking him, who are you? So that they do not ask him. And he asked in such a tone, in such a convincing tone, that he has to be one of them, that they didn't muster up the courage to even ask him. Subhanallah. This was the wisdom of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. He heard the entire announcement of Abu Sufyan, and just then, Allah, he says, the thought crossed his mind, if I can end off Abu Sufyan, this entire battle is won by us. He says, I just put my hand on my arrow and I remembered the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Hudhayfa, do as you are told and nothing more. He says, I left my arrow, I made my way back. Another interesting report, and Mawlana Yusuf rahimahullah brings this so beautifully. He felt as he was fulfilling this errand, this task, this taqaza of deen, this requirement of deen, this requisite of deen, this job for the deen of Allah he was carrying out. He says, I felt as though I was walking in a warm room. Subhanallah. And this is the lesson for us. Before this, he was freezing. When he took on the task of deen, he felt so warm and so comfortable and so happy. Subhanallah. He says, until I returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was engaged in salah, in dua, in dhikrullah. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent his sahabi for the task of deen, and he remains in dua, asking Allah to help his sahabi to accomplish the works of deen, accomplish that task. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu returns, and so Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu sits next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this amazing report in Hayatul Sahaba, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, as I was returning, en route, halfway, 20 men came to me. And this hadith says, Ashreena Farisan, they were riding horses, Mu'tammina, and they were donned in the imama. So they were the malaika of Allah wearing the imama. And then they said to me, Akhbir sahibak, tell your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anna Allah qad kafa, Allah has sufficed him. And I returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as again here, وَهُوَ مُشْتَمِلٌ فِي شَمْلَةٍ يُصَلِّي. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah, and he was wearing his shawl. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, I just returned. مَا عَدَىٰ أَنْ رَجَعْتُ رَجَعَنِ الْقُرُّ. As soon as I got back, the shiver got me again. وَجَعَلْتُ أُقَرْقِرُ. And I started shivering and experiencing the bitter cold once again. That's a very important lesson for us. When we take the taqazas of deen, when we carry out the taqaza, the requisites of deen, the responsibilities of deen, the duties of deen, and the requirements of deen, we gain the special help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go in the path of Allah, when we fulfill the needs and the requisites of deen, Allah's direct help comes with us. In akhirat we benefit, and in this world also we gain the special help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, I sat next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was in his salah and he was busy with his ma'mool, so he indicated to me to come closer. And as I came right next to him, he put his shawl, a great portion of his shawl onto me. فَأَسْبَلَ عَلَيَّ شَمْلَتَهُ. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ صَلَّى. Whenever Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afflicted or faced any challenge, immediately he would perform salah. So this famous hadith we learn, and you always read it in the ta'aleem, this was mentioned by Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu on this occasion of Khandaq. And then I presented the entire kalguzari to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That, O Nabi of Allah, they are departing, they are going, and what happened on my way, and so forth. And then Allah revealed the verses of Quran in Suratul Ahzab. Read these verses, respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Amazing verses. Read from the beginning. But if you just want to study this incident in Suratul Ahzab from verse 9, Read from verse 9 onward, right till verse 25. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. O people of Iman, remember the favors of Allah Ta'ala upon you. When these armies had rallied against you, and we sent against them the winds, and armies that you could not see. Subhanallah. So we learn so many lessons from Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu in this expedition and in all his expeditions with Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and especially in his close relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also in the importance of obedience. We learn this from Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. He abided by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's injunctions. And we learn something more. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trained his sahaba radiallahu anhu like this. That listen and obey and do as we are told. Don't make our own stories and bring additions and subtractions, or we felt this way. Do as we are told, and in that is barakat. We gain the help of Allah Ta'ala through obedience. Ta'a, manna. Hazrat Maulana In'amul Hasan rahmatullah alayhi so beautifully would say and advise, karte raho, darte raho, mante raho, mangte raho. Continue doing, karte raho. Continue serving Allah's deen. Never ever say it's enough. Carry on. Karte raho. And continue fearing, darte raho. That, oh Allah, you mustn't deprive us and remove us from the service of your deen. Certainly, you don't need us. It is us who I need, oh Allah. Darte raho. Mante raho. And continue obeying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our elders and our leaders. Obey manna, the quality of obedience, and mang tirahu, and continue begging Allah for acceptance and qabuliyat. As Hazrat would say, karte karte marna hai, marte marte bhi karna hai. Carry on doing and serving deen till we die, to such an extent that while we dying, we must die doing and serving and striving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sacrificing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu teaches us. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu enjoyed such a proximity to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would take the opportunity to be by the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask questions and be next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion he complained about protecting the tongue. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him, O Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, make lots of istighfar. Aina anta min al-istighfar, ya Hudhayfa. O Hudhayfa, I make istighfar daily more than 100 times. Wa atubu ilay. Inni la astaghfirullah kulla yawmin 100 marra, 100 times daily. And I turn to Allah all the time. Aina anta min al-istighfar, ya Hudhayfa. What is your condition with istighfar, O Hudhayfa? That's how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him. So many occasions he would ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam things, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would respond to him. One amazing night, he comes there by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing tahajjud. So he joined the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallaytu ma'an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dhata layla. Subhanallah. This is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tahajjud. How lengthy is the tahajjud of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One is taraweeh, and the other is tahajjud. This is tahajjud is throughout the year. Taraweeh is special for Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed tahajjud in Ramadan and out of Ramadan. But taraweeh was in Ramadan. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, فَافْتَتَحَ الْبَقَرَةِ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started with Baqarah, Suratul Baqarah. The entire chapter of 268 verses. And he says, I thought to myself, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make ruku after 100 ayat. فَقُلْتُ يَرْكَعُ عِنْدَ الْمِئَةِ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried on. Then I said, okay, maybe he'll read the entire surah and then make ruku'. ثُمَّ افْتَتَحَ النِّسَاءِ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started the next surah, Nisa. Then I said, okay, maybe he'll complete this surah and make ruku'. Then he read the next surah, Al-Imran. He completed that surah as well. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reading slowly, يَقْرَأُ مُتَرَسِّلًا. And he was in no haste at all. If he passed a verse wherein there was tasbih, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would glorify Allah. And make tasbih and ask Allah and seek Allah's help. And in ruku', Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finally went into ruku'. He would recite Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, and his ruku' was so lengthy, and so forth. Until Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, I actually thought of doing something wrong. His student asked him afterwards, what you were thinking of doing? He said, I felt rather I should sit down. That's what he thought was Amru Su'in. So this was the closeness Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu enjoyed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, his mother asked him, O Hudhayfa, mata ahaduka bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When have you seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam last? What had happened was, there were so many errands of deen, and there were so many areas and communities to service. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was sent to another vicinity to service that masjid. So now, obviously his attachment would have been a lesser. Obviously the attachment is there, but that meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his mother Rabab radiallahu anha asks him, when last have you gone by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And subhanallah, this is a mother. This is the qualities of a mother. The mother is worried that my child must not lose out on what is good for him. My child must be there in the right places. My child must take the full benefit. Allah give us tawfiq. It mustn't be that the mother of today is worried about if my child went to shop or not, work or not, but never asks her child, did you perform your salah? Did you perform your tahajjud? Did you make your tilawah of the Quran Kareem? May Allah Ta'ala make us today also of those who will emulate Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Then his mother says to him, yes, I was there by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She responds to his mother. Then she says to him, go to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him to make istighfar for you and for your mother. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes into Medina Munawwara. And then when he meets Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him, ghafarallahu laka wa li ummik. O Hudhayfa, may Allah give you maghfirah and give your mother maghfirah. This is the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even before Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu informed him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave du'as already. He would often pose questions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would say to his students that ask me whatever you want to know, because Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was teaching deen in the countries of the world. So he would say to his students, ask me, because the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about wonderful things. But with that, I used to ask about dangerous conditions that are to come afterwards and the times of fitan. So he would say to his students, ask me, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained all of that to me. In all the expeditions, we see that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu played major roles. There came the Battle of Tabuk in this expedition as well. This is the famous expedition where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stands out by giving everything he had for Allah. And all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Talha radiallahu anhu, Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, all these Sahaba, Allah Ta'ala forgive us through the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. In this expedition, everyone was told to come out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. The verses of Quran that were revealed on this occasion are the verses of Surah Tawbah. Study these verses, really, it is amazing. Surah Tawbah comes after Surah Anfal. Surah Anfal details the Battle of Badr. Subhanallah, of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. It's an entire commentary of the Battle of Badr. Like Surah Ali Imran has the commentary of the Battle of Uhud. Surah Tawbah is a commentary. Quran mentions the entire Battle of Tabuk, what happened, and what the munafiqeen said, and what they did, and about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So in this expedition, there were 30,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And there was one occasion where a munafiq came forth and he tried to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was a man who was wise and he was cautious and he was conscious of every situation, and he knew how to handle every situation, alhamdulillah, he came in and protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during this expedition of Tabuk, because the munafiqeen were trying to cause a lot of fitna. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we learned, he kept Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu very, very close. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu knew the names of the munafiqeen, where it is mentioned in the reports How even the Sahaba radiallahu anhum knew that about Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu was asked about Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. He said that he knew the munafiqeen, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to face trying situations. And he said to his students, if you ask Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu questions, definitely you'll find him to be very, very scholarly. About Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu knowing their names, this is a very, very dangerous quality, meaning nifaq, hypocrisy. Allahu Akbar. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu always, all his life, he warned the ummah about nifaq. And he considered nifaq even more dangerous even after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, even the munafiqeen were wary and they were scared, because the verses of the Quran would expose them. That's why we find the surahs of the Quran that were revealed in Medina Munawwara are very, very strict against the munafiqeen. Study these chapters of the Quran, right from Surah Hadid right till Surah Tahreem. And in these verses, these are chapters of the Quran Kareem that were revealed in the latter Medinan period. So we'll find a lot of address here and encouragement guiding the ummah how to cleanse oneself from the qualities of the munafiqeen. Like in Suratul Munafiqeen as well. In Suratul Munafiqeen, Allah Ta'ala, this is chapter 63 of the Quran Kareem. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala highlights qualities of the munafiqeen that are here, that are in the munafiqeen. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. If you see them, their bodies and their appearances will amaze you. And when they speak, you'll want to listen to them. But they have no reality in them. كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدَ. The munafiqeen are like pieces of wood that are made to lie upon the wall, meaning put on the side to be burnt later on. So meaning they are just awaiting their period, and in Jahannam they will be put to blaze like those pieces of wood. And the other meaning of this word of the Quran, كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدَ, they are like pieces of wood, musannada, upon which beautiful shawls are made to hang. Like in today's time, there is the dummy in the store that is clothed so that people can purchase the garment. In the past, a sanad, a hook or a pole would be placed and shawls would be hung on so that people could purchase as they go by. So it's as the verse is saying, the munafiqeen are just bodies with no reality, there's no iman, there's no ta'alluq ma'allahi azza wa jal. And this chapter of Surah Munafiqun was actually revealed when Abdullah bin Ubay joined in the battle of Muraysi'ah, and he was mixing amongst the Muslims just to create fitna, and then he caused and created that fabrication against Aisha, the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha, and the qualities of misusing the tongue, this, you know, not being able to control one's tongue. This is one of the very, very dangerous qualities of the munafiqeen. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. When he speaks, he lies. These are the qualities of the munafiqeen. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. When he makes a promise, he will go against his promise, meaning he will not give any importance to his promise. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. When he is entrusted, he will always betray, meaning he will not keep amana. وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ. And then Allah's Nabi said, when he argues, he must be vulgar and must swear in his arguments. Allah Ta'ala save us. And another thing, a dangerous evil quality of the munafiqeen, what they say is, don't spend on the outsiders. So they consider other people from other nationalities as outsiders. Like the verse of the Quran says, and quoting the words of Abdullah bin Ubay, لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا. Those who are by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't spend on them. Let them disperse, let them go. Don't sponsor them, don't give them. So what they feel, that they are catering for the deen of Allah. They don't realize that when we spend for the deen of Allah, it is the bounty of Allah who's giving us that opportunity. Allah doesn't need us, deen doesn't need us. We need deen and we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right towards the end of this chapter, 63 of the Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala says, tells us, spend in the path of Allah. Anfiqu, spend of what you love most. Give it for Allah, give it for Allah. So scholars explain here so beautifully. The end of this chapter is giving us the prescription. When we're going to spend, Allah will cleanse us from hypocrisy. Allah will cleanse us from nifaq. Allah Ta'ala save us. Anfiqu, spend and give of what we love for Allah. Give our wealth for Allah. Give our time for Allah. Give our knowledge for Allah. Give what we love most for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before a time will come where a person cannot give anymore, and then he'll beg Allah to come back to the world, and he will never be able to. Then the chapter ends in a most amazing way, where Allah ta'ala says, لَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. When one's lifespan ends, Allah will not postpone his life even to 1 second. And Allah knows exactly what you do. So Allah is telling us in this verses that are concluding this chapter, that we will live exactly as long as Allah wants us to live. Not 1 second more, not 1 second less. And see the lesson here and the miracle of the Quran. This is chapter 63 of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived exactly 63 years. So Allah is telling us, what Allah decreed for us, that lifespan Allah gave us, we will not live more or less. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and save us all from nifaq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.